This is the Rick Edelman Show.
As a young couple in our 20s, my wife Jean and I sought help from a financial advisor. We had desires to buy a home, and he told us to lie on our mortgage application, essentially to commit a felony. That incident was 36 years ago, and that's what spurred us to establish our own financial planning firm. We wanted to protect others from the kinds of experiences we'd had. And from the beginning, Jean and I focused on financial education. Back in the 1980s, there were really very few resources, just Money Magazine and Louis Rukeyser's Wall Street Week on PBS. Few people had ever heard of financial planning. Money was still considered a taboo topic. Hardly any parents talked to their kids about money. The subject wasn't taught in schools. Employers weren't very helpful. And as a result, we had a country of financially illiterate adults. My first radio interview, the host's first question was, "What's a mutual fund?" That was the state of the issue at the time. When your only source of information about real estate, credit, investments, mortgages, and insurance are the companies, brokers, and agents who are trying to sell that stuff to you? Well, Houston, we have a problem. And so Jean and I decided to teach ourselves about personal finance and then show others what we learned and help them put that knowledge into action in a manner serving their best interests. We wanted to provide a safe haven for consumers, a place of protection against the misleading and manipulative sales practices that are all too common in the financial services industry. Consumers loved our message and our way of conveying it. They still do. Edelman Financial Engines is now the largest, and I'd say the most prestigious, independent RIA firm in the nation. We're managing $270 billion for 1.3 million individuals and families throughout the country. And of the top five independent RIAs, Edelman Financial Engines is bigger than the other four combined. In fact, we're not just the biggest, we're also the best, ranked number one for quality by both Barron's and Consumer Reports. Building a great company is stressful at times, and our success is entirely dependent on our planners and our staff. And so we made sure they had a lot of fun, too. We created the no-tie zone, stress-down days, the challenge of the dog and cat, glop days, Halloween parties, crazy sock day and Mad Hatter day, season tickets behind home plate at MLB games, front row seats to every concert at the Wolf Trap Performing Arts Center, half-day Fridays from Memorial Day through Labor Day, birthdays off, lots of excursions, often with family, sporting events, cornfield mazes and whatnot, over-the-top holiday parties, and for all staff, up to 4 weeks vacation, 4 week paid sabbaticals every 6 years, and a Rolex to commemorate their 10th anniversary with the firm. And of course, every staffer, plus their families, celebrated our 10th and our 25th anniversaries with trips to Disney World. Small wonder we were named many times by multiple publications as one of the best places to work. By showing as much care and concern for our employees as we do our clients, well, it let us recruit and retain the very best. And happy employees make sure that clients are happy too. And happy clients, happy staff, they tend never to leave. Everybody wins. Or as my wife Jean likes to say, happy, happy, happy. Along the way, people say I've become the most highly acclaimed financial advisor in the country. I've received more accolades, I think, than any other financial advisor in history. I was named the number one advisor 3 times by Barron's. I've received dozens of awards for this radio show and my TV shows too. My 10 books, monthly newsletter, thousands of seminars and webinars, lots of audios and videos, and multiple citations as one of the industry's most prominent thought leaders. And now wealthmanagement.com has just announced the finalists for their 2021 awards, 900 plus nominations, and I'm a finalist for the Thought Leader of the Year. Safe to say, my leadership has helped advance the entire financial planning profession. Mortgages were just unheard of in the financial planning community. They were strongly opposed until I started touting my 11 great reasons to carry a big, long mortgage back in 1990. That strategy is now the default at virtually every financial planning firm in the country. In 2005, we began using ETFs, and we introduced our daily strategic rebalancing review. Neither of those were common then, but today, 90% of advisors do the same. I invented the first exponential technologies ETF in 2015. It's now used by thousands of financial advisors, and there are dozens of similar funds that have been launched by State Street, Global X, ARK, and others. My focus on longevity has altered the retirement planning projections that advisors nationwide provide their clients. And my proposal on retirement savings for babies, called RISE, is getting attention by federal policymakers. And finally, I think I was perhaps the first financial advisor to talk about Bitcoin, starting in 2014. And as we look at the state of personal finance today, so much is different. When I started out, there were few books on money, none of them any good in my opinion. That's why I started writing my own. Today, though, there are thousands of books on the subject. Hundreds are published annually. I used to be the only advisor presenting seminars, but live and virtual events are now everywhere, even on TikTok. Rukeyser's offbeat TV show? Well, now there are entire networks providing 24/7 coverage. And some of the biggest TV hits are themed around money. Jim Cramer, Shark Tank, The Prophet, Buying Yachts, Marriage or Mortgage. And radio shows? My goodness. Mine was a rarity at first to focus on personal finance, but now there are hundreds of financial shows on radio stations all across the country. And parents now routinely open college savings accounts as soon as their babies are born. Money's no longer a taboo topic at the dinner table. Large employers now not only just offer 401ks, but complete financial wellness programs. And our firm is the largest provider of those services to the Fortune 500. And schools? Half the states now require that high school students take a personal finance class, and legislation is pending in the other 25 states. And while only 9% of teachers in 1990 said they were competent to teach personal finance, 70% of teachers now say they can do it. And there's also now Operation Hope, just announced, a national initiative to support financial literacy, getting it into American culture. It's led by Walmart, Disney, Bank of America, Walgreens, Delta, the NFL, and the NBA. I wouldn't dare suggest mission accomplished. 100 million Americans have credit card debt, 43 million of student loan debt, 40% of U.S. households don't have the cash to pay a $400 unexpected bill. But the trend is in the right direction. And the trend line is good for Edelman Financial Engines, too. We helped our clients get through the pandemic just as we've helped them through every crisis that our nation has experienced ever since the crash of 87. The firm added 40,000 clients last year. Our assets under management increased by $31 billion. And the firm just added a new private equity partner. We now have three. We refinanced our debt, just like we're telling our clients to do, thanks to today's low rates. And with 1,500 employees nationwide, serving 1.3 million clients, our talented and dedicated planners and staff are managed by the firm's experienced and capable team. And so, Gene and I have decided that the time is right for us to start our next chapter. I'm ending my employment with the firm, and this fall, we'll air the final episode of this radio show. The firm has asked me to stay on the board of directors, which I'll do. And as Gene and I look to the future, we see that there's a lot to keep us busy. Advances in exponential technologies are exciting, but also disruptive, and Americans need help adapting, both to the new investment opportunities and the job threats that are posed by these innovations. And our population is aging while the workforce is shrinking, and that's putting pressure on Social Security. And Alzheimer's disease remains the number one healthcare threat. And so, Gene and I are going to stay in the fight against Alzheimer's. We'll talk more about that next on the show. And we're also going to continue our efforts to improve our nation's retirement readiness through Funding Our Future, the coalition I founded 3 years ago that now has more than 50 corporate, academic, and nonprofit partners. That work includes seeking national adoption of RISE, my proposal to end income inequality in retirement for future generations. I also plan to continue my advisory board roles with the Milken Institute on Aging and the Stanford Center on Longevity. And Gene will continue helping people achieve well-being through nutrition, health, and relationships. I'll continue leading the RIA Digital Assets Council that I founded 3 years ago to educate financial professionals about blockchain and digital assets. And we're also excited to complete construction of the new museum and visitor center at Rowan University's Gene and Rick Edelman Fossil Park. And we'll maintain our involvement with a variety of fintech ventures as well as other philanthropic activities via our own family office. With our Edelman gig over, we're also both open to new and different opportunities that have yet to emerge. So we've got a lot more to share with you as we begin the first of the last episodes of The Rick Edelman Show. 888-PLAN-RICK, online at ricedelman.com.
These callers are pre-recorded and pre-screened. Neither Edelman Financial Engines, a division of Financial Engines Advisors, LLC, nor its affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 ranking is based on a number of both quantitative and qualitative criteria and is determined by collective analysis of the Talkers editorial board with input from a wide variety of industry leaders. Investor experience returns were not considered as part of this ranking. Rankings for 2009, 2010, and 2012. Barron's ranking has three major components: assets managed, revenue produced, and quality of the advisor's practice. Does not assure investment returns. Quality of practice components include advisor regulatory record. Rankings based on a universe of applications submitted through self-nomination to Barron's.